year. We hope this will be a great year for you, and we're going to help you get started.
Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight's show is about helping you to accomplish your resolutions. So often, the same resolutions keep appearing year after year. We're going to help you with this. Stepping into fierceness is a way to help you. We will take you on a journey to connect with your soul so you can meet your resolutions and have a successful new year.
This is going to be a great show, really informative, and we appreciate you guys joining us out here on New Year's Day. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member Greg Moralia.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, January 1st, 2012. Happy New Year's, everyone. CNN Money reports that the federal government's lack of recognition of same-sex marriage, which forces legally married couples to file separately on their federal returns, results in as much as $6,000 per year in additional taxes. CNN said these couples are losing out because they can't take advantage of the lower tax rates that come from combining incomes and deductions. Ken Weisenberg, a partner at the accounting firm of Eisenberg Amper and one half of a same-sex married couple, said it's harder to qualify for certain tax breaks because the credits phase out sooner for single filers. He added it's costing these families thousands of dollars a year, as well as the emotional pain and suffering. CNN Money based their information on a series of same-sex versus opposite-sex tax scenarios that they presented to H&R Block. A seemingly equal household with one working parent earning $100,000 per year and one stay-at-home parent earning nothing produced radically different results when toggled between opposite-sex and same-sex situations. While the heterosexual couple can file jointly and divide their assets, a gay couple must file separately. In this particular scenario, the same-sex household would owe $4,543 more in taxes than the opposite-sex household. The gay head of household is also subjected to tax on the stay-at-home spouse's health insurance premiums that the heterosexual breadwinner isn't responsible for. In addition to lowered benefits, same-sex couples who live in a marriage equality state often end up having to file twice as many forms when filing their federal and state returns. The additional and generally more complicated filings result in higher fees from their tax preparers. And here in California, a gay-inclusive Christmas display at a Claremont church was vandalized over the weekend, and police are calling the incident a hate crime. The display at the Claremont United Methodist Church, located in a college town east of Los Angeles, featured silhouettes of three couples holding hands, one male couple, one female couple, and one male-female couple. Someone knocked over the figures of the gay couples sometime late Christmas Eve or early Christmas morning, this according to KTLA. The vandalism is classified as a hate crime because of the content of the artwork that was damaged and the fact that it was on a place of worship at a church, according to Claremont Police Lieutenant Mike Sizek. The United Methodist Church, as a denomination, does not endorse same-sex marriage, but some churches, including the Claremont congregation, have joined the Reconciling Ministries Network, fighting for LGBT equality within the United Methodism. And here locally, a San Rafael Police Department reserve officer has been recognized with a scholarship from a national nonprofit organization. Reserve Officer Sam Garanzini, an out gay member of the San Rafael Police Department, received the award from Out to Protect, an organization dedicated to supporting LGBT law enforcement professionals. The $500 scholarship assisted Officer Garanzini while he completed the Basic Police Academy at the Santa Rosa Junior College. He graduated at the top of his class just last month. Garanzini, 34 years old, is a licensed psychotherapist with a private practice in San Francisco. He comes from a large police family, and he's always expected that he would become a police officer someday. He was a police explorer in his hometown of St. Louis, Missouri at the age of 17 and formed the first police explorer bicycle unit in the Midwest. Garanzini later moved to California to attend graduate school at the University of San Francisco and made San Rafael his new home. In 2010, he decided it was time to return to his law enforcement roots while maintaining his therapy practice, and he applied to become a San Rafael Police Reserve officer. Garanzini said, "I'm very touched and humbled to have won this scholarship and proud to represent the San Rafael Police Department." Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, January 2nd at 7 p.m., parents of transgender youth will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, January 3rd from 1 to 4 p.m., rapid HIV testing is offered at Face-to-Face, Sonoma County AIDS Network at 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street. And on Thursday, January 5th from 7 to 9 p.m., the Men for Men support group will gather at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. This is an ongoing drop-in peer support group for all gay-identified men. And finally, on January 8th at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG's Napa support meeting happens at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, 1226 Salvador Avenue in Napa. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we're here to talk about the new year.
Not just about the new year, but how you can successfully accomplish your resolutions. So often we carry over our resolutions to the next year, and the next year, and the next. I mean, come on, 10 pounds? How often have it takes you that much effort to lose 10 pounds? And we're laughing because we know about the 10 pounds. At least my better half knows about the 10 pounds that keeps going on to the next year. And over to the next year. And did you put it on there, honey, for the 2012?
No, I didn't even bother.
10 more pounds?
I didn't even bother.
You know, what's that all about? That's about the negative voices that lives inside of us. There are many names for them. Cher, what do you call your negative voices?
Well, there's the inner critic.
Most people know about the inner critic.
There's people call the tapes going on, the negative tapes. Mm-hmm. They talk about the committee.
Mm-hmm. Chatterbox, you know, they have lots on the ego, undeveloped parts of self, lots of names. Mm-hmm. But I call them gatekeepers. Gatekeepers stop you from experiencing your life, your dreams, your relationship. They just stop you from fulfilling what you want to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important about these negative voices, that's why people have to repeat these resolutions so often. They block soul. They block authentic expression. I created Stepping Into Fierceness because of what I've heard and what I've witnessed and what I've experienced. This is a really, really important topic for me. This is my baby now, Stepping Into Fierceness. Because as a therapist, I get to hear people's stories. I get to hear people talk about their pain, their suffering. I hear things that most people wouldn't hear. I mean, the information that I get, these clients do not tell this stuff to their loved ones. That's how huge it is and how rich it is, how important it is. And so I hear these stories over and over and over and over again with different clients, and the theme is all around fear.
So you have an example of this?
Yeah, there's lots of examples. Let me see. One example would be, I have a client who has a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice, and she wants to sing, but she doesn't believe she can sing. She doesn't believe that people want to hear her sing.
Wow.
And it's really sad for me to sit there and to hear her, her beautiful voice, but she can't even see it. She can't even hear it. So that's just one example. But I have tons of examples. People want to start business. They can't start the business because of the voices. So, but this is not just as a therapist, as a professor. I hear these voices come up again, time and time again, listening to my students and in their written work, reading their papers, the gatekeepers are just mean and vicious. So you know what I think would be good right now is to do a demonstration. So I'm going to become, let me see, I want to go back to school, let's just say. And Cher, you're going to come in and be the gatekeeper.
Okay.
Oh, I want to go back to school. I have this desire. I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and I think it's time.
You want to go back to school?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you know how old you are?
Age doesn't matter. I want to do this.
You're going to be around all those 18-year-olds who just graduated from high school. They're going to look at you like some old fuddy-duddy. They're not. You're going to be invisible, actually, to be honest with you.
This is a dream. A dream, something I've wanted to do for a long time.
I don't understand why you want to do this to yourself. You know you have a really hard time writing.
I have.
Your grammar sucks. Your professors are not going to pass you. Why do you want to put yourself through this hell?
Because I need to do it for myself. I've been putting it off for years.
I know, and you've had a good life. Why you want to do this to yourself?
I'm not happy.
Well, I think you're going to be even more unhappy if you try school. I really think you shouldn't go there. And, you know, it's like you're going to get naked in front of all those people. It's like you're going to be really vulnerable. They're going to ask you to talk. You know how you stutter all the time? And you have to give reports and... Don't do it.
Okay. That's one example. You did a great job, Cher. That's what happens daily, constantly, minute by minute, what happens in people's heads. Okay, let's do another demonstration. This one is I want to say my feelings in my relationship. I want to be authentic in my relationship. So I know I need to tell her how I've been feeling. I want to. I have to do it. I have to say the truth.
You know, I really care about you. And if you tell her the truth, she's going to pack her bags and she's going to leave. And you don't want to be left. Remember that happened the last time? You said what you felt and she left.
I don't want to have to go through this again.
But you don't want to be alone either.
I know, but I don't feel good inside when I hold these secrets.
Well, sometimes it's better to be quiet than to say the truth, because then you rock the boat. But and if, you know you were raised not to rock the boat.
But if she loves me?
Well, you know, then you have to define what love is. And sometimes it's easier just to, like, grin and bear it.
I have to tell
her. You know, you
I
just...
have to tell.
You know, she also has a violent side to her. Did you know that? And she might just haul off and hit you. Yeah. So, I mean, you really need to think about this. And if I were you, I would keep my mouth shut. She's paying all your bills. You don't have to worry about anything. All you got to do is keep the house clean, make sure your dinner's cooked, and not say anything that's going to make her mad.
Okay. Whew. That was tough. That's no fun. How was that for you?
It's hard because, you know, I don't think these things, but I know that's what people think in their own minds. We have a couple other examples for you to, because we feel like these are realistic examples, like stopping smoking. How about if you be the gatekeeper this time, Diana? Okay. So... I've been smoking for 20 years, and I know it's really bad, and actually the secondhand smoke is really bad for my kids, and I really want to stop, and every time I stop, something happens where I just need it because it makes me feel better.
You've been smoking for years. How many years? 20
I know.
Years.
And yeah.
Why stop now? You've cut down from two packs to one, and I think that's good.
I know, but it's unhealthy.
But what happens when you stop smoking?
I get nervous.
You want to drink. You get angry. So why stop smoking?
Because it's not good for my health. I don't want to have, you know, I can barely walk up the stairs.
But look what happens when you stop. You don't feel good about yourself. You gain 10 more pounds.
True.
So it's okay? You're going to keep smoking?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good choice. No, we're laughing at this, but this is serious. This is how it sounds in people's heads. It's constant. And I think the audience who are listening may have some sense of what I'm talking about, because we all have them. So you can do the similar one with AA if you're going to some kind of AA. I want to stop drinking, you know, and the voices show up.
Well, the voices could sound something like this. You want to stop drinking.
I need to go back to AA.
Oh, you want to go back to AA. Oh, my gosh. You know those people that go to AA, they're just a bunch of losers. A bunch of losers with a bunch of losers. And all they do is talk about you when you leave the meeting anyway. You pour out your soul and then they go to coffee, haha, and then they talk about you. AA isn't going to help
it's
you.
It's not like that.
And it's some silly chip. You know, the bar down the street gives you a drink if you hand in your chip. And a lot of people do that, and it's a lot of fun, and people laugh. And that's where you make your friends, is when you're drinking.
I've gotten a chip before.
I know. And where is it now? Look at you. Whoa, you lost your chip. And you can't hold on to a chip. You can't go to AA meeting. You're not going to tell everybody your real life, because that's dumb. That doesn't even make sense that you would tell your life to a bunch of strangers.
Okay. There you have it.
Gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers stop progress. So the last demonstration is, I want to find a relationship. I deserve a relationship.
You don't deserve a relationship. Who's going to want you anyway? You're fat. You're not good looking. I mean, you know, when you walk down the street, nobody whistles at you. Nobody looks at you twice. And how are you going to attract somebody?
I know.
What are you going to do? How are you going to find somebody? On Facebook?
I know that I deserve a relationship now. It's been, how many years I've been single? 10?
Yeah, but you're better off that way. You don't have to worry about catering to anyone. You don't have to worry about putting all your business in someone else's life. You know, you get screwed over when you're with somebody.
There's certain things that I've learned that I can do differently.
No, it's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. In fact, you get all their baggage.
I don't have to put my money together with anyone. I can just go in with an open heart.
You know what? You're just living in some kind of fantasy, because as soon as you start going out with someone, they're going to want your money. They're going to want your house. They're going to want your car. They're going to want you to strip your life for them and give up everything for them. And if you don't do it, that means you don't love them.
I want companionship, and it's time for me to have companionship.
Well, go join a bird watching club.
Okay, there you have it. It's sad. It really is.
It's so sad. That we listen to those voices, and sometimes we don't even know that they're around.
And that's the point. People live with them, and I've had clients say over and over and over again that they agree with the gatekeeper, because the gatekeeper is what they know. Mm-hmm. So my work is about helping them separate the different parts of themselves so that they can hear the negative voice, the gatekeeper voice, and separate that from a friend voice, a wiser voice that's inside of them. And that's where the work is, and the beauty of the work, when they get to see and feel the difference.
Well, let's take a music break right now, and let's let everybody just kind of breathe and think about maybe your voices inside you that stop you from where you want to go. And we will come back after this music break.
Myself over, I lost something in return. What I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too little to learn. I'll give myself back to me. Was when I forgot me. What could have happened to make me so careless? How did I forget what was most important? Why would I pay for something that was free? 'Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. What I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too little to learn. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself this one thing I need. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself something you'll see. I'll give myself back.
If you just joined us, you are listening to Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. That was Ari Gold off his Space Under Sun CD, and the name of that cut was Back to Me, which is exactly what we're talking about, coming back into ourselves, listening to the voices that are going to serve us, not the gatekeepers that keep us away from what would really make us happy. Is that how you would say it, Diana?
Yeah, beautiful, Sam. But you know what I want to do right now is to define fierceness so people can kind of get a sense of that. Because, interestingly, my neighbor called me when I started this whole campaign on stepping into fierceness. And she said, ask Diana, do you know the definition of fierceness? It was like, oh, I think it was a phone call. Anyways, I wrote her back and told her my definition of fierceness.
Well, what did she think it was?
What's in Webster, what's in the dictionary, she said, it's hostile, violent, mean, rude. But it's not that. My definition of fierceness is just showing up in your life, being your authentic self. And so that's the way I talk about it in my practice. And when you're stepping into your fierceness, you're not concerned, those voices are not there. You're in control. The wiser part of yourself is in control, not those voices that we just heard earlier in the demonstration. So you're probably asking, or you probably know, where these voices come from. How do we learn all this stuff? Unfortunately, we learn that from our childhoods, from our parents, how they parent us, our relationship with our parents. And sometimes those hurtful things can be intentional or unintentional. And the intentional example of an intentional would be if your parents outright called you a name, you know, dumb or stupid, or you're never going to be anything, and you know that happens. So that's intentional hurt, right? And so you feel unworthy. So that's the voice, you're no good. You know, if your parents say you're no good, so your perception is you're no good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the unintentional. And I can talk to the unintentional because I feel like my mom was pretty much there, but unintentionally, she wasn't able to nurture me mm-hmm. the way I needed. And so that affected me a lot with my own negative gatekeeping, in that it stopped me from trusting people. It took me a long time to open my heart to people, because if my mom or parents didn't show me love or be affectionate toward me, why would I trust somebody else to do it? So that's a good example of unintentional. And so another unintentional would be if your parents never encourage you to do certain things in life, or to encourage you to go out and get a job or be successful or do those types of things. And what happens is that you interpret that in certain ways, that you're not smart enough or you're not intelligent, so you wouldn't go to school. Maybe you dropped out of school. Maybe you felt unworthy and started drinking. You know, so you're backpedaling in your life versus moving forward.
So if we took your example of one of your clients who has a really good voice but doesn't think she can sing, then somewhere in her childhood, maybe, she had some belief system that somebody told her she couldn't sing, or she didn't have a good voice, or something like that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it couldn't even not be just she didn't have a good voice, but she didn't feel worthy. You know, worthy has a lot to do with a lot of things about how we direct our life. But if you don't feel seen by your parents, you're not going to never get that accolade about, oh, you sound so great. Oh, you're so beautiful. Come to mommy, come to daddy, you know, whatever. So the kids, the perception is off, you know?
So it's kind of like if you aren't seen, then it's hard to see yourself.
Beautiful, beautiful, the way you said that. So as we're talking about those messages that we get from our childhood, I want to talk about a bus metaphor. A bus metaphor that is so poignant and so important in the work that I do. I went to school and just recently earned my PhD. And I paid a lot of money for a PhD. But this bus metaphor has proven to be worth all of that money because it's so telling. So imagine a yellow school bus, those long stretch school buses. So I always ask my clients, who's driving your bus? So the bus metaphor is you as the person, you're the bus, but there's a driver and there are passengers. And they kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? Who's driving my bus? So I explain this to them. So I said, we have lots of passengers on the bus. And sometimes the wrong passenger should not be driving the bus. Like, for instance, the client that I'm talking about that could sing, or, you know, that's probably a good example to stick with, is driving the bus. The maybe the 4 or 5 year old is driving the bus. So she's not really getting to where she needs to go in her life, because the 4 to 5 year old is driving the bus. We need to have the 4 to 5 year old in the back seat and have the mature adult drive the bus.
Well, why would you say that the 4 or 5 year old is driving? What?
Because obviously she's not following, she's unable to see herself. So she's living through the 4 year old. So the 4 year old is dictating life versus the person, the adult person. So let me see, another example would be an angry teenager. We don't want angry teenagers driving the bus. is scary, is frightening, is dangerous. Scary, frightening teenagers cannot build a business successfully. An angry teenager cannot be in a healthy relationship. They're not mature enough. So we need to put the angry teenager in the back of the bus and have the mature adult person drive the bus. When I say drive the bus, that's leading life. So the goal with this bus metaphor is to help clients and help people learn how to identify these parts of themselves that are driving them. You have to understand those parts to move on. So that's the piece about the bus, which is really important. And so what happens is these negative voices create a wall. So imagine a wall that's in between yourself and your future. So there's a wall. And sometimes the wall can be, you know, barbed wire, you know, it could be concrete, it could be so many, you know, feet thick or not so thick, so tall. It depends on what your issues are and how much issues, how you feel about the wall, how thick your wall is or how large or huge. Really important work. Once you identify these negative voices that get in your way, that's the work. Once you know, once you become aware, you can do something different. But if you're unaware, you're going to continue to do the same, same, and same, and same. So that's what the resolution's all about. You're going to continue to move, you know, these five over to the next year, these five to the next year, because you have to go deeper to the foundation work. And the foundation work is learning about these negative parts of yourself that keep blocking your progress.
So what kind of things would be on the wall?
Well, general stuff like shame, guilt. We get a lot of guilt from our families to be certain ways.
I think guilt held me back a lot, and I think it continues to hold me back for lots of reasons, but it has a very powerful place in people's lives to hold them back from, you know, excelling.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned shame. Shame is huge. You know, that's really painful when people connect and be able to speak about their shame. Because shame has a grip on people that they don't even want. It hurts so much that they don't even want to confront it. And it takes work. You know, it takes people to be, you know, courageous and to be vulnerable, to expose all of the stuff that's in their heads. So the wall is going to help. The wall is going to help people once they are able to identify what's blocking them, what's getting in the way of progress, them being authentic in their lives.
So once they learn what has been blocking them, they can like literally chip away the wall.
They can chip away the wall. Oh. That's that's the goal. So other things that are on the wall would be just, you know, I'm not smart. I don't like to use the I word when I'm talking about the wall, because as a negative voice, that's the gatekeeping voice, is a you. It's coming at you as a you. And then when I talk about the positive voices, I have people use the I, so they can take ownership of that.
So they would say, the wall would say, you're not smart.
You're not smart. Mm-hmm. You're dumb. You know, all those things that you said, Cher, earlier in the demonstration was those things that the gatekeepers say. Pointing the finger and blaming. So you can imagine that happening. You. And it feels like that constantly. So the work is to learn how to recognize the gatekeeping and then to do something different, like you say, chip away at the block. Mm-hmm. And that's the practice. I help clients with that. They get to hear the voice. Aha, the gatekeeping is happening. Like, for instance, those people think you're sick. You need to sit down. Right? There's mm-hmm. the voice. It's stopping experience, right? Mm-hmm. The gatekeeper doesn't want you to experience yourself. Don't want you to be in relationship with other people. Those gatekeepers got a lock on you, right? So you want to be able to hear and recognize, ah, that's gatekeeping. Let me do something else. There's a quote that I love from Rumi. Rumi says, move within, but don't move the way fear makes you move. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So you hear the gatekeeping voice, and then you do something else. The opposite of that, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the practice of listening for that inner knowing, the wiser you, because you want the wiser you to drive the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to help people do the resolutions, because we're missing that huge step. It's so clear to me now.
Well, speaking of being clear, we have a really cool song by Toshi Regan called Misty Mountain. She talks about clarity and the mountains and nature. And we're going to leave you with a music break right now, and then we're going to come back and Diana's going to talk about what you can do when you expose these gatekeepers.
Misty mountain, wildflowers by the ground, down by the rushing river, force wears those boulders down. Me, I'm underneath my covers. Me, I'm trapped inside my brain. Up above the misty mountain, up above the rushing river. Takes the wind.
What?
The ego takes the wind, my friends. The ego takes the wind. It makes me think like this, my friends. Where does the ego live in me? Ooh, 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 yeah.
Cavern, like a breath held, inhaled, holding in. I barely knew my name. What? I barely knew my name, my friends. I barely knew my name. It makes me think like this, my friends. Where do I live in me? I swear they'll know us by our voice. But we lay down in dusty corners. We are ragged as a scar. And when we rest our eyes stay open, we are always off to war. We're always off to war, my friends. We're be. Where can the quiet
And that was Toshi Regan off her Kindness CD singing Misty Mountain. And we are talking about stepping into your fierceness for the new year in 2012. And Diana is talking about gatekeepers and what they do to us and how we can combat them. So, what do you say, Diana? What do people do once they realize they're gatekeepers and they have their walls and they're chipping away at their walls? What do they do to get their walls down so they can be authentic?
What I want to do now is to give them some guidelines, some measuring stick. Some of you might know of, or maybe have heard of, Virginia Satir. She's an old-timer theorist that I love so much. I learned about her in school. And she talked about five freedoms. She worked a lot with families and families with communication and self-esteem and self-worth and family rules. And you know about family rules, right? They keep you boxed in. They keep the wall nice and tall.
Mm.
Because, you know, when you got to stay in the family system. If you break out, you know, it's like, it's not okay.
Mm.
So she looked at those issues and she came up with five freedoms. And she believed if we lived these five freedoms, we would be authentic, healthy, expressive people, individuals. So number one, the freedom to see and hear what is here instead of what should be, was, or will be. Number two.
Can you repeat that?
The freedom to see and hear what is here instead of what should be, was, or will be.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stay present?
Yeah.
How do you be here with me and not think about what happened long ago or what's the possibility of, the future?
Mm-hmm.
How can you be present with me right now? Number two, the freedom to say what one feels and thinks instead of what one should.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of shoulds growing up in our families.
Yeah, it's hard for people to say what they feel because of what the consequence might be. I have lots of clients who are afraid to say what they need to say because of their concern about the consequences.
Can you say that one more time? The second freedom?
The freedom to say what one feels and thinks instead of what one should. Instead of what one should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for instance, another one would be in domestic violence. I'm going to say, I'm fine, but yet I'm really upset. Right? That's mm-hmm. an example.
Yeah.
Number three, the freedom to feel what one feels instead of what one ought. Number four, the freedom to ask for what one wants instead of always waiting for permission. That's a huge one, right?
Huge.
Women are in this category too often.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, the freedom to take risks in one's own behalf. Instead of choosing to be only secure and not rocking the boat. They're so real. And they're so easy.
Well.
I mean, easy in a sense.
They're easy enough to write down and maybe to say, but probably hard to.
It's very hard to do. But I'm saying they're not like go climb a mountain 20 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's saying just say your feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
It should be easy.
Yeah.
Should.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go, some more shoulds.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, those are, when I read those five freedoms, it's like, wow. Just imagine if each person can do these things and show up in that authentic way. What would the world be like right now?
Mm-hmm.
People be doing their dreams. People be doing what they want to do. Their creativity would come to life. You're smiling.
Well, I'm smiling because maybe all five freedoms, maybe one person can't meet them all. They're still working on something on the five freedoms. But the fifth freedom about taking risks instead of being secure, I mean, that made me feel good because I just recently quit my job and I gave up that financial security. And I am taking a risk, but it is to save myself. I did that to save myself. And I feel so blessed that I had that option to have that freedom.
Mm-hmm. That's a good example. But that was holding on for a long time.
Yes.
You're locked in that lockdown mode for a while until something broke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So use it as a measure. Use it as a measure to see where you're at. See if you're able to answer. Do you do those things? Or don't you?
Mm-hmm. What if somebody forgot the five freedoms and they didn't take notes? Can they find them on your website?
Yeah, they're on my website, drdianagrayer.com.
Okay. That's easier to remember than the five freedoms if you weren't taking notes, you know?
Yes.
Or somebody probably can just look them up online too.
Perhaps.
Virginia Satir, Five Freedoms.
So that was a mouthful. You know, we gave you the demonstration. We told you about what fierceness was all about. We talked about the freedoms. We talked about family history. We talked about the bus metaphor. We gave you a lot of information. And it might feel overwhelming. But it's a lot to think about, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, just hearing it on the radio is a lot to take in. But the practice is so important. If there's something out there that you're wanting to achieve and you feel yourself being held back, these are the things, this is the work that you're going to have to do in order to move forward on your dreams. So I have 3 or 4 things that you can do to help yourself, to help your journey, to help you become authentic in the way that you want to be authentic, and to follow your dreams in the way you want to follow your dreams. First of all, which is the hardest part, is to expose the gatekeepers. Because gatekeepers are so, they're not like mean and nasty all the time. They're like subtle. They sound so like, that sounds good. You know, they make you feel like, they suck you into like, wow, maybe I shouldn't go back to school. It will be hard. Mm. You know, they feel like your best friend sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get clear about that they're not. Expose those voices. Because if you listen deeper, there's a wisdom that knows that going back to school is your dream, your desire, and you can do it. There's lots of help out there so that you can do that dream. So what's happening, why this is so important is because it's almost like purging, you know? It's like you get rid of all the old stuff. You know, like imagine looking down in a hole and you're scooping the hole clean, you know, of debris. And then all of a sudden you see a glow. And there's a glow there. There's your inner knowing that's been smothered by the gatekeeping for so many years. And now the light in you can shine through. So that's why you want to expose these negative voices that go all around and around and around in your head. Okay? Number 2, learn about where they come from. What's the history behind these different voices? Make the connection to childhood. Know how they block you. Learn about that. Speak out loud about how they're blocking you. Because this is the way you're going to gain control of the steering wheel. Number 3, when you hear the voice, the negative voice, in conversation, at work, writing a report, whatever it is, when you hear the negative voice, acknowledge it. and then do the opposite. Because the awareness, like, oh, wow, there it is again. There's that voice again. There's that voice again. And not listen to that voice again. That's the practice. Even when it feels uncomfortable, deeply uncomfortable, do it. That's the practice. That's breaking the habit. This is soul work. I love it. It's important. This is soul work. I've seen many lives change by doing this process, by conquering the gatekeeping and dismantling the wall. I think I've given you enough information for you to work with for some time now. It's a process that goes on and on and on. Okay. I want to end the show with a poem that I wrote called Stepping Into Fierceness. So what I want you to do is just kind of calm yourselves. You've taken in a lot of information. And so just take a couple breaths and just kind of ground yourself and listen to the words of this poem. We're constantly stepping out into something, out into nothing, out into something that's not truly ours, often not honoring who we are or who we want to be. The soul, strangled and beaten down, drowns in murky, muddy muck, reaches and hopes for a life sign. But the destruction is too big, too devastating. Open to the knowledge within you. Let it lead you out of the darkness and into your life's light. Expose the horrid voices one by one and see them weaken before your strengthening. Set them free so you can be free. Your light will emerge. You will finally see who you are, who you were meant to be, not who they made you out to be. Bring forth these words of wisdom freely and fiercely. Whisper them, caressing them around your body. Speak them out loud again and again. Sing them and feel the vibration of your life moving through you. Yell them from the depths of your soul. Now softly speak them again with loving intention. Allow them to circulate, flow within you. Remember this moment. Seal it with love, your love for you. Embrace yourself, and you are forever changed.
Oh, that was beautiful. When did you write that?
Oh, sometime last year, I think.
Beautiful. Well, we do have to close the show with that. It's been nice.
Yes.
Wish you all a happy new year.
Happy new year and fulfillment of all those resolutions. And hopefully 2013, you won't have many on the other side. We really want to thank you for listening in tonight. We hope this information was helpful in some way. We want to remind you that you too can be living proof that by stepping into your fierceness, you will live more authentically and be able to meet your resolutions, whether they be business, personal, or relational. Good night.
If you'd like to listen to the show again or any of our past shows, log in to outbeatradio.org and look for the Living Proof link. We'll be back on February 5th.
Tears. Go ahead, release your fears. My, oh.